This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The business station.
Good morning. I'm Kusa Chong, joined by Brian Fernandez and Daniel Fernandez. This
Two Fernandez in one studio.
All we need is Tony in here. Then we've got three Fernandezes, right? So anyway, this is the Ringgit Sense show, the show that's all about personal finance. Today, we're going to get to the nitty-gritty of buying a car in Malaysia or to not buy a car in Malaysia. And of course, Daniel Fernandez, you are the founder and managing editor of DSF.my, otherwise known as DriveSafeAndFast.my. You are a car specialist. You've got a lot of views on car financing, in short. Daniel, can we start by even talking about whether you think new or used is the best option in today's environment?
It's difficult to say which is better when you're looking at the consumer out there because, for example, if tomorrow my son at 17 tells me, Dad, I need a car to go to college, I would start by buying him a second-hand car. Because why? First-time driver, he's definitely going to have a few dings here and there. He might get into a small, you know, fender bender and things like that. I don't want a new car to be damaged as a parent. But at the same time, I'm thinking about safety. I want to make sure there's enough airbags, there's enough, you know, traction control and everything else for him to be safe on the road because he's a new driver. So the question comes in terms of budget. If I've got the money, yes, I want to buy him a new car. If I'm a bit strapped for cash, then of course a used car. And the used car market has never been better,
right? Yeah, yes. When I see some of the cars available now, it's amazing.
Yeah, I think one of the key things with the used car market now is it's about its impact on financing has had on used car values.
Yes.
So because secondhand cars are harder to finance for whatever reason that the banks feel that they're bigger risks, that has impacted used car values tremendously. So, for example, if you had bought a brand new Volkswagen Passat, say at in 2012,
they're practically giving them away now, aren't they?
Yeah, you could probably pick one up for 50 plus thousand, and it's a really, really good car.
See, it was a really, really good car
until they started telling lies about their consumption figures. Yes. But anyway, look, as a parent, and I think we're all of the vintage where parenthood is a reality. Yeah,
correct.
Brian and Daniel, I agree. Actually, pre-owned is the best car, or in fact, used is the best option. Yes. But for me, safety is the number one priority.
Correct. And you see, the thing is now, with more people on the road, more younger generation coming in from the smaller towns and working and everything else, traffic conditions are not getting better. Accidents are just getting more and more and more. And I think the reason for all these accidents is because everybody's rushing to work. They're rushing home. They're rushing to their favorite coffee hangout. They're rushing to their favorite bar. Whatever it is, they're rushing everywhere. And people are not so conscious on the road because they're playing with their smartphones, you know, they're playing with their stereo, they're doing all kinds of other things instead of just driving.
Okay, can I get your point of view, okay? There's a whole range of car prices right now.
Yes.
So assuming we go new, and new, actually you can get a lot of bargains new. Let's just get your top three choices, best car under 100,000.
Okay, if you're going under 100,000, I will actually start at you know, from the most reasonable, the Perdua Asia. You can't go wrong with
how
this car.
How much is that? Best, highest option.
Okay, the manual starts at 24,900.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
The Alza?
Yes. No. The Asia.
Exia.
Oh, your accent, I like it. But the top of the range, with all the bells and whistles, is just $44,000. Now, right next to it is the Proton Iris. Okay? For some people, it's...
Because apparently the handle's quite good on that car, yeah? Handling.
The new Iris.
Yeah.
I actually like the new Iris with the new seat trim, the new features and everything else. The car actually...
Did you say features?
Features.
It's got features with an embryo and features.
And it's also got a very good price. Prices for this car start from 43 to 58.
Okay, that's all right.
And that's, I think, a decent price for what they're giving in the car. Now, if you have a little bit more money, like Brian, you know, who's, you know, doing very
Brian,
well.
Brian is a wealthy fellow, like.
Yes.
No, I'm just a poor guy.
I would
poor
say
journalist.
Go a little bit up the food chain and look at either a Toyota Vios or a Honda Jazz. Now, the Honda Jazz is a brand new hatchback just launched.
The hybrid or the non-hybrid? Because hybrid residuals tend to not be as good as non-right? Yeah,
okay,
because
we'll come back to that with the used car values. Right. But I want to say, don't go for the hybrid.
Okay, tell us why.
And tell us why.
Okay, because how much fuel are you actually saving in these cars? You're not saving very much.
Quite a lot, like, because I drive a hybrid and I think I get much better mileage.
Yeah, but you'll only get that mileage if you drive diligently.
I am a diligent driver. That's my middle name, Diligent Cool.
Exactly. But you know, a younger generation person, when they get into these cars, very initially, yes, they want to save a bit of fuel. But after a while, they don't care. They just want to, you know, cane the car.
Like a performance. I actually like the Suzuki Swift. I think
but they don't sell anymore.
Correct.
And you know, now with Geely coming into Proton,
correct,
Suzuki could come back.
That's right. But how's that going to work?
If they come back, you got the new Suzuki Swift with the 1.4 turbocharged engine. That would be a fantastic
little car. Yeah.
Or you can get the normal aspirated. But these cars could actually start coming back to Malaysia.
Now, the thing is, from personal financial perspective, I think banks give you a much better loan rate when you buy new. If you buy it secondhand, they whack you on the interest rate, right? So from a personal financial planning perspective, buy new. Is that better advice?
Yes, the interest rate is better. The down payment is better.
But I think one of the things that people often don't realize is the bargains that you can get really from buying a near used or demo vehicle. So you could
pre-owned,
pre-registered. So the because of the tough market, for example, especially the luxury car manufacturers, you know, your Mercedes, your BMW, your Land Rover, your Jaguars, and so forth, you can get tremendous deals on cars that have very low mileage or pre-registered 0 mile cars. I think Mercedes was running a deal some time ago where you could get a C-Class for 1999. So that's a saving of almost 30,000 on a brand new car, 0 miles.
See, then I know he's a rich guy. Like,
because he's talking finance league.
That's on my pay scale.
Below 150,000.
Okay, so now we're talking about, you see, Brian's level.
Yes.
Best cars under 200,000. Top three choices. You start.
Top three choices. Yeah. I say start with the Honda Civic 1.8.
Not the 1.5. No. I would think the 1.5.
Yeah, the turbo.
Because, you see, I don't need the turbocharged engine, number one. Number two.
But your DSF drives safe and fast.
Yes. Yeah. It's fast enough with the 1.8. It's a tried and tested engine.
No. New technology, lower.
I don't need the leather seats. I don't need the bigger wheels. At 113,000, the 1.8 makes more sense to me.
You reckon? Yeah, and you can put the 77,000 that you left over, or exactly. Is it 80,000, to buy shares of Maybank or whatever. Yeah,
or maybe absolutely. Just buy yourself a nice wristwatch or go on a nice holiday.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Would you buy a wristwatch, you know, from a personal financial perspective, Daniel?
I would.
Yeah, why?
Because automatic wristwatches, especially limited edition watches, are going up in value.
Is that right?
Yes.
Which one are you? You are wearing a nice watch now. What are you wearing?
Well, you know, I can't tell.
Secret. But Daniel, let's get back to what the show is all about. It's really about personal finance.
Yes.
Now, what are the options really to finance your vehicle? Is it a bank? What are the non-bank financial institutions
Brian,
offer?
Brian, I'm so happy you brought it up. I've been doing used cars for so long, and I look at the industry. And when I tell someone, why don't you buy a used car? The first thing they say is, oh, I don't know who owned the car. It's okay, we can check it out for you. Second thing is financing. You can get a three-year-old car in the classifieds, online classified. We have so much online classifieds now. But when you walk into a bank or a finance company, I'm not going to get names here, but I think nearly all of them, oh, very hard, very difficult, we'll check the paperwork, you know. They are not committed to giving loans to walk-in customers. But if you walk into any used car dealer, the guy operating outside a bungalow house with a porter cabin...
I saw that. So it doesn't matter how old, they will give you financing.
Exactly.
Where do they get it from?
They get it from the same bank that told you and dilly-dally. Because why? They prefer to deal with the used
car dealer. They'll collateralize the used car dealer rather than collateralize
but
you.
But the used car dealer is not the person selling the car. He's just your middleman. And he makes money out of it.
So what kind of interest rate does he charge you? That's the
question. That depends.
Right?
If the car is a hot car, that means hot brands are popular brands like Honda, Toyota, Mercedes, then the interest rate is lower. If it's a cold brand, like, you know, the French and the Koreans, it tends to be a little bit lower. But you see, I think it's unfair to say hot brand or cold brand. It's what the buyer wants.
No, but the thing is, Daniel, here, coming back, you've got a very good point here about the financing mechanism and so forth, and the various different financing.
Right.
How about somebody who wants to finance a near-used vehicle but wants to lease it? What are the options available? Because leasing then gives you perhaps use of the vehicle for 3 years, but you then can return it back to the manufacturer.
Okay. Leasing from manufacturer's point of view, it's just started. It's just started. The big boys have already started playing the game. But there have already been leasing options in Malaysia for a number of years, and they come from car rental companies. And it's not cheap. It only works well with people who are on a company payroll and it's a company car and they prefer to lease because they don't want to own the car. They don't have all the maintenance and after sales issues. But that is now growing. New companies are coming into game, opening offices and trying to play this game, which has been so popular in Europe before this.
Because one of the things is the leasing business drives sales for new, yes, new vehicles. Yes. So I think Mercedes has agility financing, yes, and BMW has their BMW credit, and yes, they give special deals and gets young people really to buy their cars.
Yes, but are these young people financially ready to own these cars?
I think that's an issue.
Pause at that. It is 9:46 in the morning. We are with Daniel Fernandez as well as Daniel Fernandez of DSF DMRI. I am, of course, with Brian Fernandez. We're going to come back and we're going to handle the thorny issue, secondarily, of whether one should even buy a car in the first place.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Ringgit at Sense, and we're listening. This, of course, this show all about personal finance. This morning, we are joined by Daniel Fernandez, the founder and managing editor of DSF.my. I'm Koo Strong, joined by Brian Fernandez. Now, earlier we talked about how people should consider whether to buy new or to buy second-hand cars, but now with Uber and Grab and Lyft and all these other ride-hailing services, Daniel, do you think there is coming a time in the world now where people can realistically consider not even owning a car?
Okay, I will say this to you, and I hope the people listening don't judge my children. I was talking to my son recently, and you know, from the day he's born till today, he's only seen me test driving cars, going for events, coming back with different cars, and he had a big interest in cars. But recently, I asked him. I said, you know, your height is right for you to start learning how to drive.
How old is he?
He's 14.
Okay.
But I wanted to take him to a private car park. Just learn, you know, heel and toe, clutch and everything. As a manual car. He said, I think I don't want to learn how to drive. And I was shocked. I almost had a heart attack. I said, why? He says, why do I need to drive? There's public transport. There's Uber. There's Grab. And there's bicycles.
Fantastic. As a cyclist, that's a great, good
but
on
you
him.
See, as a motoring nut, I am upset. Because my son doesn't want to get into a car. He's not interested.
Okay, so let me give you a counterpoint, right? If you buy a car, you're going to be hit back on at least 5 or 6 levels, okay?
Yes.
You're going to be hit back on depreciation.
Yes.
You're going to be hit back on in terms of the excise duties that the government imposes on the car.
Correct.
You're going to be hit back in terms of the road tax,
yes,
the inner city congestion tax if you live in Singapore.
Yes.
You're going to be hit by insurance costs. Cost of managing and maintaining the car.
And remember, insurance is de-tarification now.
Correct. So risk-based. Okay.
Yes, and prices are going up.
Correct.
Mm. Well, prices will go up for young people.
Yes,
I think
for
old folks like us, uh-huh, I think the premiums will probably come
down.
Talk
about yourself.
Traffic offences if you get fined for speeding or making illegal U-turns.
Yes.
So your son has got his head screwed on right. He might be giving you a heart attack, but he's going to give you a more healthy P&L in the years to come.
True.
If he doesn't buy a car.
But Chuang, I think that's a global trend. What
yes.
his son is basically expressing is a trend that, for example, they saw in Japan. The automotive manufacturers already started to see 10
yes.
years ago.
Yes.
And one of the reasons for the decline in interest in motorsport, really, among young people is the fact that young boys are no longer aspiring to Lamborghinis or Ferraris
yes.
or being race car drivers. They just want the utility that is associated with cars.
Someone please pass me some tissue so I can cry.
Yes. And you know,
but no, it's
him,
true. It's very true. Yeah.
After
the aspiration
him,
is going.
I spoke to some of his friends who come over, you know, and they are all on the same page. So I realized this.
Fantastic.
In a few years' time, they don't want cars. They want mobility, but they can get it on the ease. They want the extra money in hand, which you're talking about, depreciation,
correct,
insurance and everything,
correct.
To go out gaming, buy expensive coffee, holidays. They want that. They don't want to hold and own a piece
so
of metal.
So what do car makers do? Because in the US, right, ride-hailing legislation, regulatory changes, by the year 2030, we talked about this, but by the year 2030,
yes.
99% of cars could conceivably be completely fleet-owned, autonomous-driven, EV, with very, very low levels of ownership.
But probably. Here's the thing.
So what do car makers do?
The
car Should they
makers,
change the models?
Car makers will evolve completely from being pure manufacturers.
Or they'll just
really,
die. They'll just die in actual
death. If they don't evolve from being manufacturers only, they
they'll
will
perish.
Die. They have to be service companies. Literally.
You're right, Brian.
That's what it's going to
yes.
be.
Yes, correct. You go into a car company, you do not buy a car. You drive out a car, you pay a fee every month. After a few years, you return the car and you get another new
car.
That's
leasing. That's what it's called.
But it comes
Daniel,
from the car manufacturer.
It will go for the next evolution. Four of us may share a car and that's part of our package. We use it a specific amount of time. We would probably have an app to then make bookings and so forth on our specific shared use vehicle, or it could be a community based and so forth. And for how this impacts us is really the following. One of the key reasons why our household debt in Malaysia is now at 88% of GDP is the fact that we spend such a huge amount of our monthly income really on car repayments and house repayments.
Absolutely.
Now, when you take that out of the equation, you have tremendous amount of disposable income.
We are two steps nearer to financial freedom.
Absolutely.
Right? Right?
Yes.
And what are you going to do with all your cars, Dan? Because, you know, utilization rates of vehicles in the US are something like 2 or 3%. That means your car is sitting in your porch unused for 97 to 98% of the time.
And you're paying for it.
And you're paying for it.
And you're still paying the maintenance,
correct,
and the road tax,
insurance,
and the insurance,
road tax, blah, blah.
And, you know, to put it simply, years ago, many, many years ago, when we traveled and visited China, we laughed at them for all using bicycles and less
now
cars.
Now everybody's going
today,
by.
Today, they've got cars everywhere. We have started using bicycles and less cars.
Yes, and I ride to work at BFM.
Exactly. He does. Yeah.
So the health benefits, of course,
are
tremendous.
But his bicycle, Brian's bicycle, is worth more than me.
But that's not true. I ride my cheap bicycle to
but
Brian's
your bicycle, other bicycle.
Brian's bicycle is worth more than my classic car.
No.
So moral of the story, guys, what's your summation?
Cars will still be made. People will still buy cars. The consumption rate will still be there, but there's a whole group of consumers who will say now, I will use somebody else's car, or I will pay to use somebody else's car when I need to use it. I don't want to own it.
Yeah, you know, guys, we've seen this. I mean, the disruption is vehement. The energy industry, the car industry, the newspaper industry. Young people of your son's age, 14, 15-year-old, they've never read a newspaper. They probably never own a car. They probably don't even want to own a house, even, you know, perceptibly in the future.
Well, I think one of the key things you talked about, disruption, Chuang, that's already started is car sharing and car sharing services in addition to ride sharing services. Now, when I was living in Singapore a couple of years ago, they really took off because the COE prices, or the certificate of entitlement prices, went up, which pushed the prices
crazy
of cars.
Crazy prices, crazy values.
So what happens is this. Cars are pre-parked in certain areas and you basically use an app to book them. And you're basically charged by the hour. It's like $7-8 dollars at that time. We already have those sort of car sharing services in Malaysia today. And I think that is a way for a lot of people to avoid buying cars and use cars when they need to. Just book the app, book the car, and especially if you're living, I think, around LRT stations and in the central business district, downtown KL.
You see, I'm not a fan of that because, you know, I don't know what the previous owner did in the car in terms of, you know, his bodily fluids and
especially
whatever.
Especially after a big Saturday night.
Yes, because, you see, we still live in not a fully developed country. We still have a lot of people here who, you know, take away their bodily fluids when they're in the car.
But we're talking about mobility and not gross stuff like that.
Yes.
Let's talk about mobility in terms of saving money in short distances and all these new bicycle sharing services that
have
is
something
up.
Interesting. That, I think, is something interesting.
Interesting, right? The only thing is the weather in this country might prohibit the mass adoption.
You know, rain or too much sun.
Hot,
and all that.
Hot,
yes,
you
yes,
know?
Yes.
But I seem to see them all around KL. People seem to be using them surprisingly. I'm surprised as a cyclist
I think
myself.
They're surprised at something new and they're thinking, you know, let me try it and see.
So you look at it as a fad.
Yes. It's just like the electric car, which they had it in, you know, all over the stations. You can, you know, rent it using your touch-and-go card. Now it's dead.
Well,
initially,
just,
everybody used
CMOS,
it.
The CMOS cars.
Where are those cars today?
Yeah.
Who's using it now?
Yeah.
But Daniel, you talk about electric vehicles and plug-in vehicles and so forth. What about some of the automotive guys who are now offering them, like BMW, like Volvo and plug-ins and stuff? What are the sales like now?
Sales are very good because people buy it for the tax incentive. Nobody's buying for the fuel saving. They're all buying basically because they're saving a lot of money on tax. Malaysians, the moment you tell them 100,000 tax removed from this car, they will buy it.
Well, gentlemen, I'm quite gratified to hear that between the three of us gentlemen with a combined age of at least 150 years old, still that progressive and that advanced. So thank you for your opinions, Daniel Fernandez.
Thank you.
Editor of TSF.my. Of course, I'm Brian Fernandez and I'm Khoo Soo Chung. This is Ringgit and Sense, BFM 89.9.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.